Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, family, and welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome to Spiritual Sense Life Radio Podcast. And just want to welcome each and every one of you back this week. Hopefully, everyone is having a blessed and wonderful day. I know today has been a nice and blessed, wonderful day here in Texas. It's nice and sunny and warm like usual, which is a blessing on this nice summer day, July 11th, 2020. It is a blessing to be in the land of the living. I am praying for each and every one of you that you be blessed and that you continue to be blessed and that you also, most of all, be a blessing. For Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And what Christ was simply saying is that the person that's giving is going to be more blessed than the person receiving. So if you're able to bless someone with $100, he's going to bless you with more than that in return. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, he will bless you back. And so it's a blessing to be here. Family, it's been a blessed and wonderful day. Been just doing a lot of study and research today to bless you with this word that we're about to get into. I also want to take this time to express gratitude. I tell people all the time, the best time to express gratitude is early in the morning. As soon as you get up, express gratitude to the Most High. Give him all the praise and the glory because he's more than what worthy to be praised. It's a blessing to be in the land of the living. Despite what's going on, you hear rumors of wars and rumors of bad and evil things going on in the world, but nonetheless, he sits on the throne. Always remember, your Heavenly Father sits high and he looks low. Trust me, he knows what's going on. And the word says the safest place to be in the whole wide world is to be in his will. So irregardless of what Lucifer is doing and what the Luciferian cults and followers are doing, we are following the Most High, okay? And so my God is greater than any God, any false God, and he's able to bless and protect. And remember that can't no one do you any harm without his permission. He won't allow them to touch you. And that's a good thing about the Holy Spirit being in the world and having control. Is because the Holy Spirit is the keeper, right? He's going to keep you from sin, keep you from temptation, and we are thankful for that. Okay, so I just want to express that gratitude. Let me be the first one also to say that I love each and every one of you with the spiritual love from my Heavenly Father, which comes from above. If no one has told you today that they love you, let me be the first one to tell you that I love you, and I do, and I mean that from the depths of my heart. I love each and every one of you listening and those that are not listening. Because we love, that is what he has implanted, that is the seed that he has implanted in us through salvation. So again, let me just express some gratitude. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to have a roof over our head, clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet, the most basic things. That's one thing the old school pastors and ministers taught us and taught me, that we need to be grateful and thankful for the little things, because a lot of times we overlook those things because we've been blessed with so much or just blessed, period, that sometimes we just kind of overlook the small things, you know, just simply like being able to go get food for the family and buy for the family, to put gas in your car, just a little simple basic things that we have air in the house, we have heat, just some of the things that we just take for granted. We're able to pay our rent and to pay our bills every month, so it's a blessing to be able to do so. I'd just like to thank him for my life, soul, health, and strength. Thank him for this ministry and this opportunity. I thank him for this platform. I thank the Chaos Radio team and Derek Oliver for this platform to be able to reach more people. And it's a blessing. It is a blessing, and it's a blessing that you are here. And so just remember, I just want to take that time out to express gratitude. I'm also glad that you're back for another Daily Bread sermon. And more spiritual food for the soul, right? Because that's what it's about, spiritual food for the soul. And again, hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful day and an even better week. And so what we're going to do without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into the word. And so give me one brief moment. All right, there we go. Let me go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. And you all know that I have to read love, okay? And so we're going to start in verse 31. Then we're going to read into 1 Corinthians, the entire chapter 13. This is what it says. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What excellent way is Paul talking about? He's talking about love. Love is the more excellent way. See, if the world was full of love, we wouldn't have all this chaos. We wouldn't have all this sin. You know, Lucifer wouldn't be allowed to let these plagues come into the world. If people were focused on love. And, you know, working for a financial institution, one thing I've noticed is that everybody's being so nicey now because of what's going on in the world. They're kind of withholding their true selves because of what's going on in the world, probably because of fear of what may happen to them. But this is why we preach the word. Hey, if we walk in the spirit and we walk in love constantly, well, you wouldn't have to worry about things that are going on around you. We don't walk in fear because why? Yahweh does not give us the spirit of fear. Okay, so we walk by the Spirit, we live by the Spirit, we think by the Spirit, we talk by the Spirit, we act by the Spirit. That's what it means to walk by the Spirit. And so we are not really affected as much. I'm not saying that you can't be touched or affected, but remember, can't no one do you any harm unless Yahweh allows them to harm you or to do something to you. And it's just like a parent with this child. I wouldn't allow people to harm my children. And so Yahweh is the same way with you. He's just not going to allow just anyone just to put their hands on you, okay? That's just not how it works, okay? We serve a most high and powerful God, okay? So don't ever forget that. So 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Watch this. Charity suffers long. This is love. Love suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What is the scripture talking about there? That's a key verse. That's a very powerful verse. Okay, but when that which is perfect, he's talking about Christ. When Christ returns, Christ is perfect. He is the one that saved us and redeemed us. Then the scripture says, then that which is in part shall be done away. And when we talk about the return of Christ, the scripture is really talking about there won't be any guessing. There won't be some things that we don't understand. We're talking about the scripture. We're talking about the word. This is what it says, when that which is what? Perfect is come. Then that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, we what? We prophesy what? In part. We don't really know everything. As ministers, as pastors, as bishops, as overseers, as evangelists, teachers, we do the best that we can to give you the word by the Spirit. But we know that all things are not what? Revealed to us. But when he shall return, there won't be anything that's not known. He will make everything known to us, okay? And that's why I say that that which is in part will be and shall be what? Done away with. Now watch what verse 11 says. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father Yahweh, we thank you for life. We thank you for your Spirit to bless us and keep us and protect us from the evil one. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for life itself. We thank you for our eternal life, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Son, Yeshua, for his sacrifice and for him being obedient to your will, dear Heavenly Father, and being able to go through the sacrifice, dear Heavenly Father, and to basically redeem us back to you, to restore our life and our spirits and our souls back to you, dear Heavenly Father, that we may live in peace and love for all eternity with you, the Heavenly Father. For that is our desire. For the Word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray for your Word, your will, and your way. We pray that all flesh be removed, that we may have an ear to hear, the Heavenly Father, and that we may move in the Spirit, the Heavenly Father, and allow the Holy Spirit to take over and to control, and to not control, but to indwell, the Heavenly Father, and to give and to deliver your Word. We bless and praise your holy name, that I may decrease, the Heavenly Father, that your Word may increase, and that your Holy Spirit may deliver your Word for your people, the Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and jump right on into it. We are dealing with Revelation, the second chapter. We stopped at verse 17 the other week. We're going to get into the Church of Thyatira. We talked about the Church of Pergamos the other week. Now we're about to jump right on in to Revelation, the second chapter, verse 18. And without further ado, we want to go ahead and get in so we can get as much as we can. The Word is getting very interesting. Hopefully, this is blessing you all spiritually and feeding your soul that you'll learn about the book of Revelation. I know it's not moving as fast as maybe some would desire, but be patient, okay? And so the Word says that we may rightly divide the Word. We want you to know. Paul expressed that more than enough. Paul said that I have you not to be what? Ignorant. The Word in Revelation, Christ gave it to us four times. He said, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. We want you to know what Christ gave to John to give to the seven churches, so that you may know that when this day and time comes, that we may understand his Word and what's going on in the world, because a lot of people have a lot of questions, but they're not asking the right source. They're not going to the Most High. He's going to give you the answer. His ministers, his pastors that are teaching the Word, the information is there. And what I find so intriguing is that we have more information at this day and time available at our fingertips more than any time in history, but people won't even utilize it. That's the funny thing, because in studying the Word in the Bible, you know, and I studied the old school way, just through books, reading and researching, not through Google. And it's okay, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with Google. Every now and then I may go to Google for something, but mainly I study through books and reading. So before Google and the internet became popular, this is what I had. This is all I had, as a matter of fact, was books to study and read. But, you know, for most people, you could just, you know, do a little search. It can help you out. But for the most part, I encourage you to read and study, and to most of all, ask the Holy Spirit. That's where your answer is going to come from and come through, is through the Holy Spirit. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Verse 18 of Revelation, the second chapter, we're talking to the church of Thyatira, okay? And so this church here, is really the church that's similar to the Catholic Church, or actually it's kind of directed towards the Catholic Church, the Catholicism, as they call it, okay? And so there's a lot of things going on in this church. In fact, this is actually the largest message to the seven churches was this church here, Thyatira. There's a large, huge message that Christ had for them. Why? Because this church here was so deeply entrenched in Luciferian Satanism, satanic occultic work. And then you can see that, and again, this is the church that's directed mostly towards the Catholic Church. So we can see that, you know, through the Vatican and a lot of things that they are doing is unholy according to Scripture. And so you have to understand, when we talk about the seven churches, who was Christ writing to? Anyone that has access to this Word that goes into what we call a church. Now, remember what the church really is. The church is not actually a building. And so, but we know that people still gather at what? A building, okay? And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. This here is considered a church when we minister on the air. There's many ways at this day and time to minister that they didn't have thousands of years ago, even hundreds of years ago, okay? They didn't have airways and a radio station or anything like that you could minister through. And you had to do it the old school way. You had to travel, go into town, took days, weeks, months to travel to different cities to bring the Word, to bring the message, okay? But this day and time, knowledge has increased, everything moves at a faster pace. Again, another sign that we are getting nearer and nearer and closer to the return of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Christ, the true Messiah that's coming back to get the church. Okay, so what did he give John? What did he say unto John? He says, and unto the angel, remember we talked about the angels, the leaders of the church, the elders, the overseers, the pastors of the church. He said what? Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things said the Son of Yahweh, the Most High. Okay, well, another thing to point out that this is one of the only points in the churches where he says the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like the fine brass. So what is the interpretation of his eyes like a flame of fire? And we saw that over in Revelation, the first chapter. We looked at the description of Christ when John originally saw Christ in verses Revelation 1, verses 14 through 16, okay, gave a vivid description of who Christ was. And this plays a huge role and where we at today, and how Christ, the image of Christ, the imagery of Christ is betrayed. Now, when he talks about having eyes like flame, meaning that he can see anything and everything, okay? You know how sometimes you can see the fakeness in people, you can tell who's real and who's not. Well, how do you know that? Most of the time you can do it also through just by being with people and dealing with people, okay? And just being around them, you can feel people spiritually if they're a good person or not, right? And a lot of times people will tell you who they are by the way they act, the way they carry on. But Christ has the power through his vision, okay? And we talked about all these powers that these superheroes have. The power that these superheroes have is a joke compared to the power that our Savior has. He has the power with his eyes of flame to try you and to know, hey, if you're real or not. And this is what we're dealing with when he's with, in other words, you know, he tries, he searches, right, the soul. And also when he talks about his feet are like fine brass, what is that saying? Okay. He's talking about judgment. Okay. This is what he's going to do, his judgment. This is what is in reference to. So this is what he's doing with this church. He's searching this church. And remember, I told you this particular church was very, very steep, deeply into Satanism and Luciferian works, okay? As we can see today, there are a lot of so-called, quote-unquote, churches that are preaching from the Bible, but they are very deeply steeped into occultic Luciferian Satanism work, okay? And so understand what the church is. The church has a the church members itself varies. So if you take 100 people and you say, this is a church, and we have 100 members in this church, you have some people who are coming to church. Now, we don't know why they come to church, but they have an occultic mindset. Maybe they just there just to see what's going on, to see what they can see. We don't know. But you have people who are actually true believers. And so think of it this way. We understand that people work. They have everyday lives. And when you have Wednesday night Bible study, you say, why is the church packed on Wednesday night or Sunday morning Bible to basically learn more? Because this is where you learn. And I remember the pastors used to say back in the day, Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible study is where you learn. This is where you want to be. It's okay to come and hear the message. We want you to hear the preaching because that's where most people get delivered. But you learn more in Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible study because we're actually teaching the word. We're training you as believers. But the church is not as full, and it's not because people have to work. It's because it's a choice that people are making to not come to church, okay? And so you can see that doesn't mean that a person's not saved because they don't participate in every service or every part of service of church, okay? So I just want to make sure I clarify that. But Christ, in dealing with the churches, he sends out a message to them. Hey, what he says in verse 19, he says, I know thy works, okay? He know your works. He knows if you're going to come to church or if you're just sitting up watching TV, making a decision, a blatant decision not to go to church. Now, we understand that people work. We got family. We got everyday lives going on. The Most High understand that. But who also gave you your life that day? Who gave you your job and blessed you to have what you have? He did. So it shouldn't be often that we should miss out on these additional services, okay? He says, Christ says, I know thy works. Remember in verse 18, we just told you, he can see you, right? He knows you. I know thy works, okay? He knows your heart. People always say, well, he knows my heart. Yeah, you're right. He knows your heart because he can see. He has eyes of flame to see through you. You know, we used to say that back there. Oh, I can see through the mess. I can see this person here ain't real. I don't like fooling people that's fake. I can see right through you. We used to say that back in the day. He knows thy work. He has eyes like flame of fire. You can't escape it. He knows your heart. He knows if you're real and true to him or not. You can't put nothing over on him, okay? You're not going to be able to explain your way out of something. See, sometimes we can put things over on our spouses, over on our parents, our kids, our boss, you know, whoever. We can put things over on people, right? But Christ is one that you can't put one over on. He knows thy works. Watch this. And he says, and I know what? Your charity and service. He knows your servitude. He knows what's going on. He knows if you're really putting in, if you really mean it. Okay? So remember what charity is. Charity is what? Love. That's what charity is. If you look up the interpretation of charity, charity means love. I know if you really love me or not. I know if you really love the brothers and sisters in the church. Okay? So he knows. Okay? You can't give. You can't put one over on him. He says, I know your service. Okay? So these are the things that he has called us to as the church, okay? And so we're just going to explore some verses here in connection to that, to what we're saying. I just want to refer back over to the funny thing is I didn't even have this written down, but we're going to go back over to 1 Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I just read love. So this is what we're talking about. He says, I know thou what? Thy charity, I know thy service, I know thy works, okay? So 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, I just want to take a look at a few verses that really coincides with this particular verse on what Christ is dealing with the church. Remember, it's written in red. Anytime you see the word, the letters in red, that means this is your Savior. This is your Savior, the Christ, the Messiah speaking. Very important. Now watch what he says. We're going to go over to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses. Let's look at verse 3, okay? It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, he says, it profits me nothing. This is what Paul says. So if you see Revelation, the 2nd chapter, verse 19, it says, and charity, I know thy works in charity, in your love. So Paul basically is saying, it doesn't matter if you make the sacrifice, that you sacrifice your body. It doesn't matter. So you can take all your goods and give it to the poor. But Paul says that if you don't have love, the only way that you can have true spiritual agape, which is the Greek word for love, the only way that you can have that is that you come and you have faith and you believe. You really are a true believer, right? There are people who are good all day long. They seem like they are good people, but they don't believe. They don't have the spiritual love in them. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Paul said it benefits you nothing. Okay? It doesn't mean anything. Okay? You're a good person. But do you believe? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Christ says, I know thy works. There we go back to that. Now watch this in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. How many people who are in the church can really say they're not puffed up, high-minded, walking with the nose on the earth, they conceited, they think they're better than you maybe because they have an extra car or a bigger house or a bigger bank account or a better job? Christ says, I know thy works. How many people said that, what, charity, love, vaunted not itself? Don't put yourself above other people, right? Charity suffered long. Here's one for you. Charity is dealing with people sometimes. You know, I work in the banking industry, and I'll tell you, it can be very testy with dealing with people because they really try your attitude. People could come in mad, you know, being rude and disrespectful because, you know, again, because they maybe they have more than you or they think they're better than you. It can get testy. but love suffered long. Even in the marriage, love suffered long. And dealing with one another, dealing with another party, another person, dealing with family members, dealing with friends, you know, dealing with enemies. We have to what? Charity suffered long. We have to be long-suffering in this walk in Christ. But it also said that love is what? Kind. We have to be kind to one another. Not act like we don't know people when we see them out in public. When you go to the same church, people don't want to speak to you or talk to you. Christ says in Revelation 2 and 19, I know thy works. I know who you really are. My eyes are flaming fire. I can see right through you. I tell you, I don't like fake people. I don't deal with fake people. Okay? I just don't. I know, Christ says, I know thy works, okay? This is why he says over in, I believe it's 1 John, I think it's the 4th chapter, verse 1, he says, try the spirits, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of what? Yahweh. Try the spirits by the spirits. That's 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 1. We ought to try the spirits, okay? We are similar, in a sense, to Christ because of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us to be what? Christ-like. Okay? Don't just believe every spirit. Don't just accept everybody because, no, everybody's not good for you. Okay? Be kind to them, but move on. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Remember, Christ says, I know thy works. He says, do not behave itself unseemly. If you love someone, don't act unseemly. You know, people have little nasty attitudes, you know. Seriously, these people go to church with us. He's talking about people outside of the church. See, Christ is not talking to, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the people who are in the church. So to be believers, and if you are a believer, you are to exercise being what? Godly. You are to exercise walking in the Spirit, both mentally, okay, physically, meaning by your acts, and what you say, okay? Do not behave yourself unseemly. Don't talk about people or mistreat people. Don't talk down to people. The word says, seek it not her own. Don't just think about yourself. It says, is not easily provoked. Don't let everything get to you. But it says what? Think it no evil. Don't be thinking bad thoughts about people, and especially in the church. Okay? Try to think good. Don't be judging the book by what it's covered. Again, Revelation 2 and 19, Christ says, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith. I know what you believe. I know if you're a real true believer now, if you just come to church just because some of your spouse is going to church, just because you're going to look at people in church just to see what's going on, or you ain't got nothing better to do at home. He says, I know. And he says, and thy patience, and thy works. And the last, watch this, to be more than the first, okay? So when we think people to not be much, Christ says that the last will shall be what? First. Okay? So I had to interject that in reading this this scripture because the Holy Spirit gave that to me. I thought about it. I said, you know what? This is really what Paul talks about over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. That whole context of love is what we're dealing with. And this is why when Christ said he's coming back to get a perfect church, we talk about the church of Philadelphia, which is in the next couple of churches after Sardis in chapter 3. He's coming back to get a perfect church. Perfect meaning mature. That's what the word perfect in the Greek means. It means to be mature. It may not mean that you're perfect, but be mature. Treat people how you want to be treated, the golden rule. Hey, I want someone to be nice to me. I'm going to be nice to them. Hey, I speak to people. Hey, I like people to speak to me. Hey, brother, I know you. You go to the same church. Or maybe you work with somebody. You know, be nice and kind to people. See, our Savior know who we are. There is no escaping. See, you can play other people in the church. And we talked about the other week how there are wolves among sheep in the church. They dress nice, look nice, you know, they look like church, as we say back today. They look like church people, but are they really church on the inside? See, you can look church on the outside all you want, but it must be on the inside spiritually. The Holy Spirit must be indwelling in you. See, people try to make like being full of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is just like this thing you have to do certain things to get the Holy. Walk by the Spirit. Love is how you're filled with the Holy Spirit. As long as you accepted Christ, you're already filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, to operate the Holy Spirit, you have to do something. Now, at that point, to operate in it, you have to operate in love in order for the Holy Spirit to be operating and filled in your life. It's there, but to operate, you have to exercise love. And this is why I teach and preach on love. I tell you all the time, if you go to the church, they ain't talking about salvation, they ain't talking about love, and they ain't talking about the return of Christ. It's okay to preach other sermons, but you need to drive home these points. And this is why you have a church full of people that's not right. They're only 10% of the people is going back with Christ, and this is what Christ is talking about. And if you don't believe me, go into Matthew's and find it. You know where it's at. When he says, I know you not, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you worker of sin. People said, but Christ, didn't we know? Well, we're not casting out. Depart from me. See, you was in church playing. You wouldn't really save. You didn't really truly believe. You were just there for show and shape, form, or fashion. You wasn't real. I told you he has eyes of flame. See, you can fool me. You can trick me. But you can't trick Christ, okay? Verse 20 says what? It says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, right? Okay? So I know thy works. So let me explain the church of Thyatira just real quick, okay? The church of Thyatira was a church that you had believers, just like all churches. You're going to have the people who's going to do right. You're going to have your clique over here that's not going to do right. Then you're going to have this clique over here that's trying to change the doctrine, change the way the pastors teach. They don't want the pastor to teach on certain things. I've been in churches like that. You know, the pastors, all, I remember one of my mentors, he used to come and tell me some things about how some of the deacons in church, the people would complain about some of the messages he was teaching and say, well, we don't want you to teach on that. Don't talk about that. How are you going to tell the man of the Most High, the man of God, what to teach, and the Holy Spirit gave it to him to teach? Because they're stepping on people's toes. See, so you want him to teach these nice messages all the time, but you don't want him to be living. See, the Holy Spirit is what gave it to him. As Christ said, give this message to the church. I'm coming back, and if you don't get it right, I'm coming back. And you're going to lose your reward. We are supposed to teach these messages that's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable, are not always this message that you want to hear. Of course, we're going to teach messages that you want to hear, but because of the Holy Spirit, we're going to give you the real, true word. We have to, because we are led by the Spirit. We believe in the Most High. We have to be obedient, and now we have to stand before Christ. We have to give an account of that. I don't want to be the one that's not doing what I'm supposed to. I got to give you the word, whether you like it or not, whether you want to hear it. Now, watch this in verse 20. Now, we're going to get into something here. Verse 20 says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to bring sacrifice unto idols. This is a very deep message here. I'm not going to stay long on it, but I am going to spend some time here because I believe it's very, very important. You know, to have a Jezebel spirit, let me first say this, because to have a Jezebel spirit, men can have a Jezebel spirit. So it's not just women. It could be men or women can actually have a Jezebel spirit. So what you have to really understand is that an evil spirit or a bad spirit, which is really an evil spirit, it could be on either side. It doesn't just have to be just for a man or a woman. It could be for both. Okay, and usually it is for both, because an evil spirit is just an evil spirit. It can influence either a man or a woman. But this particular Jezebel spirit is usually one that you see in women. Most of the time you don't see it in men, but men can be led or have this spirit. It's mostly women that you see it, okay? And so, you know, this is a very deep teaching, because there are some things about the Jezebel spirit I'm not going to get into, such as, because I don't want to stray away from the main subject of the word, and that's in dealing with women teaching and preaching in the Bible, because some people have a problem with this, some people don't. I don't, but you have to understand, you have to take it in its correct context. But again, today we're not going to get into that, because that's not the main subject here. We're dealing with the church of Thyatira and the things that Christ and the issues that Christ had with this particular church, meaning that this particular church was really steeped deep into what? Satanism and Luciferian tactics, doctrine. Okay, that's what we're mainly dealing with today. And so that's where I want to stay. And so coming from, I'm just going to read just a few verses, okay? Exodus, the 34th chapter, verse 14 through 16. I'm going to read this real quick. Exodus, the 34th chapter, verses 14 through 16 says, "For thou shalt worship no other god." Okay? Again, Christ said, "I know thy works." This is the issue that he has. There are people in the church, the very church that you go to, that are actually worshiping other gods. Again, I tell you, everybody that's in the church ain't sheep. They're wolves among the sheep. They look like sheep, but they're not sheep. And sometimes your leader of the church, he's a wolf too. Okay? Well, that's why it's important that we know in the Bible we have to have eyes like Christ to see through this. We have to have eyes of flame to see, like, hey, you know what? Something's going on with this pastor. I don't trust this guy. But see, the funny thing is sometimes people will actually set up under that. And that amazes me how people would know that this pastor is not right, but they'll set up under it. And it's like, to me, I'm like, well, maybe people like mess sometimes. That's what I think. Sometimes people just like messiness. I can't do it. You know, being a true, real believer and filled with the Holy Spirit, I can't do it. If I see something that's not right, I'm not going to sit there and let somebody teach over my spirit that's not by the word and living by the true word. If I see something, it's like, this guy's not right, okay? And I can't be there. But verse 15 of Exodus 34 chapter says, verse 14 says, "For thou shalt worship no other god." You see, it's a little g if you notice, meaning false gods. "For the Lord, whose name is jealous," is a what? Jealous God. We serve a jealous God. "Our God said, there won't be no other before me. I'm the one that creates you. I put you here. I blessed you. I've given you all these wonderful things. I've given you life. I'm offering you eternal life. Don't put no one before me." Pick up your Bible and read it daily. Spend time with him. Turn on your gospel music. Turn off the TV. You know, just spend some time with him. He loves you. He wants you to spend time with him. Verse 15 says, "Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice." Be careful who you're hanging around is what the Bible's saying. This is in today's term, but back then this is what he's saying. He says, make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. You have to be careful who you're hanging around. Don't be hanging around the inhabitants of the land, your neighbors and people that you work with, knowing that they ain't doing right. You got to be careful. The Bible says, at least you go a horn after them. Go, now they didn't encourage you to do what they're doing instead of you encouraging them to come to church and serve the real, true Most High. You are here going over to their church, and their church is teaching some mess, and they got you on participating in their gods and the idol gods and false gods. And then he says, "And then call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice." Now you are just eating up what's going on, just doing what they're doing. Verse 16 says, "And thou of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their god." And back then what he was saying was, at least your children mingle with their children and be encouraged to do what they are doing. See, we have to be careful. You know, when I was young, my dad used to always, and at the time I hated it, but when I got grown, oh, especially when I had kids, I understood. Anytime kids would come to our house, I remember, especially when I was like getting close to a teenage year, because a lot of times as kids, you know, you're fine. But when your kids start to get towards teenage years in high school years, senior high years, my dad would watch kids and say, "Who is that kid? Who is that boy?" He used to always say, "Who is that boy? Who is his parents?" And I couldn't understand, like, why is he tripping? Why is he saying that? What he was saying was basically what the scripture said. Who is he? Who is his parents? Do his parents go to church? You know, we even do that with our kids. Now I understand my dad saying, "Hey, who is this person? Do they go to church? What does he do? Is he a good kid? Is he a bad kid?" Well, he was protecting me by the Spirit because he was led. He knew that if we're not careful, your kids can get in trouble, and I've seen it. I remember I had a friend that some time ago he had told me, and I never knew this because it happened when we were a kid, but he had told me because he was hanging with one of our other friends, they had broken to a place, and got caught. And the cops came, they were kids. He said this stuff stayed on his record until he was an adult. And you know, he could tell that it troubled him so. Like, he hated that he had did. And I was like, wow. I said, man, I never knew that y'all got into that big of a trouble. I remember it happened, but I didn't know it was that serious. And he was just saying, yeah, man, that stuff follows him. And they gave him a hard time as kids. They treated them, interrogated them like they was adults. I never knew that. And so the purpose of this is to protect our family. We ought to protect our kids, especially as the head of the household, men and women. We have to protect our children. I tell my kids all the time, hey, be careful who you hang around. These boys and these girls can have you in some big trouble. People don't mean you no well, especially if they ain't got Yahweh in their life. They ain't serving God. Their parents ain't said, man, please. They'll be jealous of you because they see what you have and be hating on you and setting you up the whole time. We have to be careful. We have to teach our kids these things. I tell my kids all the time, hey, who is that? I watch these boys. One of my sons, he was hanging around these boys. I kind of seen these boys hanging out in front of the store. I'm like, that ain't good. They're just sitting in front of the store. And I tell my son, see, you don't want to do that. These boys are out of school. They don't work. They just hanging out. And they won't keep a job. That's not good. And that's just being real. It's not calling nobody out. That's just being real. You have to say, hey, son, no, just because they don't want to go to work don't mean you don't go to work. No, absolutely not. We don't do that here. My dad didn't take that. His dad didn't take it. I'm not taking it. We be different, okay? We be different. You be different, okay? You be different from other people, okay? And, yeah, we be different, meaning we all are different from the world. We don't do what they do, okay, because we have to protect our households, okay? This is what it said in verse 16, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go whoring after their gods. It don't matter if it's your daughter, your son. Be careful who your kids hang around, whether it be the girl talking to this boy, your girl talking to another girl, your boy talking to a girl, your boy hang around other boy. It doesn't matter. And you have to be particularly careful this day and time because I'm just going to be real with you. You have girls liking girls and boys liking boys. Hey, if that's cool with you, it ain't cool with me. I serve the Most High, and that's not what the Most High. That's not how His people live. And it ain't okay because you see it at this damn time. You go, oh, it's okay. No, the devil is a lie. I know what I want my kids to bring home. Now, if you want your kids to bring home that, you deal with that. I'm not dealing with that. And you ain't got no come telling me, oh, it ain't love. Now, that is love. He loved Sodom and Gomorrah, but he sure did burn them with fire and brimstone. But don't tell my Heavenly Father he don't love. He loves, but some he hates. Sin. And this is what Christ is saying. He said, I know thy works. I can see through you. See, we just don't tolerate anything because then you have all kind of demons and devils running through your house. Then when you wonder why you're losing your house and your cars and things is happening and bad. And I'm not saying you can't lose these things just because if you're a righteous person, but I'm simply saying you wonder why things is constantly going bad for you. It's because you just let anything in your house. You just let anything, anybody. Man, I monitor the people come to my house. I don't know who you are, what type of spirit you got. You ain't just coming to my house. Who is this? We have to have that type of mentality and mindset. Okay? I had to share that with you, okay? Because why? It's important for us as believers to know. We have to exercise these things that Christ and the Word, the Logos, Christ has given us, right? We ought to exercise. That's what we are as believers. We do. We live the Word. We live by the Spirit. And we don't just accept any and everything because the rest of the world accepts it. And then you be sitting here looking crazy when you be wondering what's going on with your kids and your grandkids. Okay? We don't just accept anything. So we want to get a little bit more into the Word. So go Acts 15 chapter. Acts 15 and 20 says, but that we write unto them, that they abstain, okay, from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. We have to be careful what we put into our bodies as far as this food. People just eating all this stuff, talking about they eating steak with blood running in. See, there's a lot of things. People want to talk about being righteous and doing certain things. So there's more than just adultery and fornication. And that's okay that we cover that. But sometimes people put that at the top of the list. Oh, adultery and fornication. Man, there are other things that people are doing out here that they shouldn't be doing. But they sure doing it. But they'll tell you that they're righteous and more holy than anybody in the church. Well, let me tell you something. the Ten Commandments wasn't the only commandments that Yahweh gave to Moses. There was more than the Ten Commandments, not to mention the ordinances. There was so many, there was like over 300 or 400 ordinances, probably 500 ordinances that Yahweh gave Moses. Certain foods to eat, what not to eat, what, how to dress, how to groom yourself, how to take care of yourself. There are so many different things that he gave that people are not keeping on a daily basis. But see, Christ died for what our sins, to cover what the multitude of sin, because he knew that you couldn't keep all these things every single day. See, people just want to, well, I don't fornicate, I don't commit. Hey, that's great you don't do that. But what about these other 300 or 400 or 500 things? Do you do all of them every day? Certainly not, because it's too many for you to keep up with. It's a spiritual law. And here's this, it took Christ to come back to redeem us back to the Most High, because he was the ultimate sacrifice. Say, you know what? You can't do these things. We don't live up under the law anymore. We don't sacrifice in our backyard. I don't have no altar out of sacrificing lambs and goats and all these things, right? But he was the ultimate sacrifice for us. So he died for that, and that's why we have to pray without ceasing, to ask for forgiveness of sins and transgressions, because we sin knowing and unknowing. Okay, again, Christ said, "I know thy works." He knows you, so don't stick your chest out. No, you can't do it by yourself. It takes Christ, and we are grateful for his ultimate sacrifice. We're thankful for what he has done for us. We're going to get into the Jezebel spirit, okay? Just a little bit, not too much, okay? So it talks about fornication. Let's deal with that, because you know a lot of times people like to deal with sexual sins and act like it's. Don't get me wrong, it is. It's the one sin that's against your body, but you know people want to put that at the pinnacle of the list. Okay, there's actually no list when it comes to sin. Sin is sin, and Yahweh hates all sin. Okay, but you know people like to throw that at the top. Jezebel had this spirit about her, and if you know the story of Jezebel, I think I have it written down somewhere. I actually do. Let me kind of go to some of these scriptures and try to move along here. Let's go over to, I think it's 1 Kings. That's where the story of Jezebel. Let's go there real quick before we get into it. Let's kind of find out just a little bit. And I'm going to let you read. It's a great story. Just kind of read it on your own time. Or you can just simply read what I'm about to read. It's coming from 1 Kings. The 16th chapter, verses 29 through 34. Again, that's 1 Kings 16th chapter, verses 29 through 34. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. I'll let you read it. But Ahab was a ruler of Israel. He actually ended up marrying Jezebel. Again, you know, watch your kids. Don't let your kids marry a Jezebel. Again, the Jezebel spirit can be a man or a female. Watch your sons and your daughters. Don't let them do you. And sometimes, you know, kids get infatuated with the way people look. They're into the sexy, fine thing like we were when we were young. We get infatuated just because of how a person look. Maybe the way they talk with their hair or their eyes, or, you know, maybe they tone nice or whatever it is that you're just so infatuated with. But the Bible says that we have to be careful about these types of things. And so verse 29 says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now watch this. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. He was an Israelite of the household, cutting up. Okay? He did evil in the sight of Yahweh. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now, he didn't marry this woman. Now, instead of him serving the Most High Yahweh, he's serving her god, a false god. This is what we're saying, okay? And we have to be careful about these things. Then you kind of do your research, so you find out that how Jezebel had this spirit. That's why he says the Jezebel spirit. The old women of the church say that Jezebel spirit, meaning that she had no problem sleeping around. Now, here's his wife sleeping around on him. She would use this tactic to get what she wants. Now, we know women like that, right? And there's some men Jezebel too as well. They sleep around and get what they want from women. They buy them clothes, and some of them, I heard some women buy men cars. You know, people, you hear that old saying, use what you got to get what you want. That's a Jezebel spirit. Don't teach your kids that mess. That's evil. Why would you want someone to use their body to get? Because you know your body always stay looking like that for so long. When you get a certain age, you ain't gonna be out using what you got. Because what you got, you ain't got it no more. So you can't be out here just using what you got to get what you want, because you ain't got it no more. So that's a bad tactic to teach people, to teach children, to teach young people. Absolutely not. Give your youth to Christ. Give your youth to the Lord, to the Heavenly Father. Give it to him and let him use you as he sees fit, because you're going to be so much more blessed, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And you don't have to go out here and go whoring, like the Bible says, to other people and to materialistic things. We have to stay away from these things. This is the Jezebel spirit, and this is just one of the things that, as I stated, that was big with the Jezebel spirit. And so we just have to be careful and mindful of these things. And that was just some of the things that she did. She would just, you know, go around just doing these things. But as you kind of read a little bit into the story, you'll find that they actually dealt with her. She was executed. And so, in other words, and when I say executed, she was basically dealt with. She was killed. And so you also find the same thing that Christ is saying with the church, that if you don't be careful, you'll be dealt with as well. You can't just continue to do these evil things and think that it's okay, and think that he's just going to allow you to be in his church and not deal with you. Okay, and so these types of things are scripture. So we have to just be mindful, okay, of these things. As the church, okay? So we're going to go ahead and move on just a little bit. We're still dealing with verse 20, okay, this Jezebel spirit. Okay? Now, it said that Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach, okay, and to seduce my servants. Okay? And so now we deal with the ancient, the original spirit of Jezebel, which we know even probably before Jezebel, the Jezebel spirit it exists in the Garden of Eden. It's also a hard-headed, rebellious spirit. You know, Eve was told not to eat what of the garden. What did she do? She went and did it anyway. That's a Jezebel spirit. So the Jezebel spirit actually was in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't just with Jezebel, but because Jezebel exercised so many different traits that it just made Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, look down and say, man, this woman is cutting up. She's sleeping around. She's false teaching. She got an attitude. She's nasty. She's trying to seduce servants. She was doing, like the women say, she was doing the most. So she wasn't just doing one. Like, some women just may fornicate. Some women may have a controlling spirit, you know. But she had all these spirits. She was just really just cutting up in the church. And so this is what made the Most High look down and say, you know what, we got to deal with her. And this is what Christ is saying to John in this, out of the church of Thyatira. This spirit must be dealt with. This is serious. We can't let this church run rapid. And you see a lot of pastors see this spirit in the church and will allow it. I've actually seen them out there like, well, wait a minute, you see this sister here. Now, we know the Bible says come as you are. We really know that's a means spiritual. Remember, I tell you, all things are spiritual first, then the natural. Spiritually, it means come as you are. In other words, your spirit is messed up, come to the Lord. And it's okay. It manifests also in the natural side. Hey, if you dress a certain way, come to church, we accept you anyway. But let the women of the church mold the young ladies. And also the men, young men be molded, say, hey, you know what, brother, we don't come to church like that. We pull up our pants. We don't come to the house of the Lord like that. Brother, put a belt on when you come to church. Say that the way with the young women. Sister, cover that up when you come to church. Dress more appropriate. Now we're not saying that if you wore a certain type of dress and it showed your shape, you can't help that no more than a woman that don't have a shape. If she comes to church and whatever her shape is, that's just her shape. But cover yourself up and make yourself look decent. Don't come to church with a skirt that's way up high, but you know what I'm saying. And so we see these things, because I, you know, in my years, you know, of ministering, I've seen some things, and I never understood, you know, when I was younger, why would pastors not allow women to sit on the front row of the church? And how, if they do, they have to have this sheet to cover them up. Well, it makes sense. You know, as a pastor been up in the pulpit, you see why. Okay, yeah, I see why they don't have y'all sitting on the front row. Because again, you got that Jezebel spirit. They cutting up in the church. They lifting up their leg on the front row. Now what? Now wait a minute, sister, you can't do that. You shouldn't be doing that, right? And so that's that Jezebel spirit. Or you see things in the church that's just going on that has to be what? Taken care of. We don't want this unruly spirit coming in messing up the church or, you know, making the church dysfunctional. And so these are the things that we deal with as the leaders of the church. And this is what Yeshua is telling John, okay? Send this message to the church. We can't have these things going on in the church, okay? Sister, brother, we can't have these things, okay? So it says, and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now watch verse 21. It says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. Now let me tell you something. Our Heavenly Father is so merciful. He is. He's so merciful. He'll give you years. And sometimes people ask, well, why do people do certain things? Because that's just how they are. But we have to allow people a chance, and we got to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to for the church. Pray for them that they get delivered. Now, and, you know, I'm not saying how long it should take you to get delivered. That's not my department. But we pray for people that they get delivered. And the person has to have a desire, but we desire, because you see right here that Christ says, I gave her a space. That's some time. You know, hey, probably, you know, we don't know how long the space is, but we know that's according to what's righteous, and we know it's fair and just that he gives you time to repent of whatever it is that you're doing. You're in church, and we know some of the things that people do. You know what you're doing that's not right. It ain't always sexual sin. It ain't always, it could be a controlling spirit. You know, you want to be the head of the household as a woman. You want to tell your husband how to do everything. That's not right. He is the head, and so there's some scriptures I get into that. I have a lot of scriptures, but you know, I'd rather minister to you and then to give you a lot of scriptures. But, you know, we have to discuss these things, okay? He is the head, okay? But we know the word says that we both are submissive to one another, but at the end of the day, his word is the last word. That's scripture, okay? And so with that being said, there are a number of things that's on the outside of what? Fornication or adultery. It's not just that. There are other things. But he said that I gave her time to repent of her fornication. And again, fornication not only just meaning a sexual sin. It could be other things that she was doing. And watch what it says in verse 20. It says, and she repented not. But there are people that I told you, everybody in the church ain't saved. I'm telling y'all that. Stop going around talking about, oh, he backslid or she backslid, or they were once saved. There ain't no such thing. They never was. She was in the church. You can see right now, Jezebel was in the church doing what she wasn't supposed to do. And understand that the reason why Jezebel is in this Thyatira in the context here in Revelation, because it's talking about that spirit. This is not, and again, not just a female. It could be a male. It could be a group of people. The Jezebel spirit could be a group of people in the church being rebellious, not listening to what the pastor say. On the phone talking about, well, we ain't going, we going to rebel, we ain't going to, I ain't like what the pastor said, but we ain't going to Wednesday night Bible study, or we ain't going to church, or we're going to do this in church, we're going to act like, just being unruly. This was the church in Thyatira. The scripture said, and repented not. There are people in the church just to cause confusion. They come to church just to raise H-E double hockey sticks. Okay? Okay, they in church just to raise not heaven. And so, again, wolves in sheep clothing. They never were saved. Okay, stop calling these people saved. Christ says, I give them an opportunity to repent, and they repent not. This is the message to the church. Those of you that are not right, Christ is saying, get right. You ain't right. You never was right. Stop making these folks right. They were never right. Okay? Christ said, I'm giving you the opportunity to repent. As you can see here from the Jezebel spirit, Jezebel was never right from the beginning. She was just in the church. And but again, people think just because people are in the church, they say, no, everybody that go to church ain't saved. That's just all it is, too. They never was saved. And this is what we keep saying, you need to get saved. Okay? Receive salvation so you can get deliverance. Once you receive salvation, you can get delivered. And this is what we're dealing with. But as you can see in verse 21, the Bible said that she repented not. This is the opportunity to change. He gave her opportunity. The word said he gave her space. When you give somebody space, you give them what? Room. more than enough room. Hey, if I said, give me some space, move back. I'm not tight. I'm not short of space. He gave you enough space, enough time to change. Whether it was a year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, he gave you enough time. And she repented not. People have enough time in church. This is the best time right now as we're preaching the ministry. Get your tickets. The Glory Bound train is coming. Get your tickets. They free. We come to the side and receive salvation. Stop playing. You have time. You had your whole life. Some people got 30, 40, 50 years, 60. I've seen some people 70, 80, and 90 years still poor. I'm like, Lord, you got a lot of space. He's giving you more than enough time to repent and change. But these folks are still out here partying. Isn't that amazing? Me sometimes see people like, what could you be possibly doing 60, 70, 80 years old in the partying with your grandkids and kids? At that point, you need to repent. Okay? Get right. You have the opportunity, okay? So moving on to verse 22, it says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Meaning, judgment is coming. So basically, it's that thing to where when you have a reprobate mind, means you ain't changing. Remember when Moses went to Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh to let his people go? What did Pharaoh say? Oh, yeah, I'm going to let him go. I mean, he was playing games. Remember, we always say play stupid games, receive stupid reward. And it was said that it cost him his firstborn's life. And this is what the scripture is saying here. Okay, verse 23 says, and I would kill her children with death. You see the same reference to Pharaoh. His son, he had to lose his son. Don't let this be you. Don't let it be you. Don't let it get to that point to where Yahweh have to touch you in some type of way to get your attention. And even after that, see, remember, Pharaoh was never saved. He just had that rebellious spirit. He had that spirit to where he had a I just said it. He wouldn't change his mind. Okay? Don't let that be you. Because when he gives you opportunity, he gave him opportunities. All these different plagues came. When Yahweh is merciful, I tell you, he is merciful. He would give you an opportunity. And you know, here's the thing, you know it. You know he's giving you opportunity. You know he's giving you time and space to change, but you repent not. Instead, you continue to do what you want to do, a reprobate mind. That's what I was thinking. It's called reprobate mind. He had a reprobate mind, meaning that I ain't going to change. We know a lot of people like that in the world. You see people like that live these different lifestyles out here. Well, they be out here clubbing. They say, I ain't never stopped doing fornicating. I ain't committing adultery. I ain't going to never stop doing it. I love this sin. I ain't never stopped. Or they like sleeping with the same sex. I ain't never stopped doing this. So that's a reprobate mind. You can't be saved with a reprobate mind. You just can't. That's against the Holy Spirit, and you can't do it. You have to make the decision to change. You have to humble yourself and change. Say, you know what? I'm going to stop doing these things. I'm going to change my heart. I need to change and stop doing what I'm doing. Okay? But Pharaoh didn't. And even after he lost his son, what did he do? He gathered up his army and said, you know, we're going after them. He just got even worse. And people get like that. They get a reprobate mind. They get even worse. And so the Heavenly Father said, okay, well, since you're like that, I give you over to a reprobate mind. And what that means when he said that, when Yahweh, that's over in Romans, the first chapter, verse 28. You can read about a reprobate mind. That's Romans, the first chapter, verse 28. When God gave them, when he gives you over to a reprobate mind, what that's simply saying, it's not saying that he's making you do it. He's saying simply, you're saying to yourself, I'm not going to never change. He's just going to say, okay, since you're not going to never change, so be it. Since you won't ever change, you're going to be that way. But you're going to pay the price. You're going to suffer the consequences, which is ultimately going to be death. And then you're going to lose your soul. You're going to burn in the lake of fire for all eternity because you chose your sin over change. You chose to live a sinful lifestyle over changing. And this is what verses 22 and 23 is saying in Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation, the second chapter, verse 22 says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Now y'all just committing a bunch of sin. Now y'all going to go through a bunch of, you know what, 18 double hockey sticks. Man, it's just not going to go right for you. Because what you're choosing to do ain't got to do with the Most High. It's because you're choosing to sin. You're choosing to do all these evil things. And you're choosing not to repent. The word says in verse 22, except they repent of their deeds, he will have mercy if you repent. You got to repent. You just can't think what you're doing is okay. Verse 23 says, he says, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. Okay? And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Okay? So remember, we talked about that divide in the church. Those who are the sheep, those who are the wolf, those who believe, those who don't believe. It's either or. It ain't no jumping back and forth. He was saved. No, ain't none of that. Once you say, you say. If you're not saved, you're just not saved. You never was saved. It's just all it is to it. Plain and simple. Okay? Now, when he says, I am he which searches the reins, remember we talked about the judgment of Christ in verse 18. We talked about his feet being like the color of brass. That's the judgment. We talked about his eyes like flame of fire, right? He says, I am he which searches the reins. The reins is the kidneys. And what this means is the emotions is what it translates to mean, the emotions, right? So when he judges, he's going to judge your heart and your emotions. And that's how we judge people. We say, man, this person right here, you know, their heart just don't seem right. Their emotions. You ever seen people who just get mad, fatty, and this bad attitude? Like, man, you control your emotions. You control yourself, okay? That's not good to be that way, okay? And Christ, he judged you. He knows your emotions. And then now, see, Pharaoh got even more upset. I'm going out of the children. But see, you did that to yourself. Same thing with Jezebel. She wasn't going to stop. And so Yahweh had to send one of the people of Israel to go out there and to take care of them. Okay? So we have to remember these things that you know, we just can't live the life that we want to live and do what we want to do. That's not what we called to. Remember I said that last week. I said yesterday, he has not given us a license to sin once he saves you. That don't mean it's because he saved you for all eternity. Oh, now I'm going to go back in the world. No. He didn't say you don't go back in the world and do what you want to do. Absolutely not. That's not what the word says, okay? So we may want to explore a few scriptures here. I got some scriptures that I want to explore. Let's go over to Jude, the first chapter of Jude. It's right here next to Revelation. So let's go to Jude. I have it written down. So let's see what it says. Jude, the first chapter. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. It says, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Though ye once knew this, see, here's the thing. See, you knew how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Wow, it's amazing I had that scripture written down. And so, again, now we're dealing with the deliverance of the what? The children of Israel. Okay, see, you knew to do right, right? So he saved them and he delivered them out of the hand of Egypt. But afterward, they chose not to what? Believe. Remember the people, they were complaining when they left. They were complaining in Egypt. They were complaining when they left. Again, the divide. Those who believe, those who don't believe. The ones that always served them through the trouble of Egypt, they served them. And when they came out of Egypt, when he delivered them out of Egypt, they still served him. But you had the ones that they were complaining in Egypt. And when they brought them out, they were complaining. They never believed. But he did what? He destroyed them that believed not. You're gonna be destroyed if you choose not to believe. You can be in church all you want to, but if you choose not to believe and you just sin, then he's gonna destroy you. And watch this in verse 6. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting chain under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them. In like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Amen. You know what that means. Or set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You're going to burn the lake of fire for all eternity if you don't change. You can do what you want, say what you want. You can be mad at me. You can hate. Don't. Like I tell people, you ain't mad at me. You're mad at the Most High. I'm just giving you the word. I'm just a messenger of his word. Verse 8, likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Amen. It's a choice that you have to make. Okay, what choice are you going to make? You're going to change today, or you're going to say, you're going to get mad. You're going to have a reprobate mind and just keep doing what you're doing. And we see that in the church often. We see people who don't they don't want to agree with the rightful word. And I told you before, there was a thing that I read in the Bible. I said, well, you know what? If I say I love him and I'm going to serve him, hey, I got to change. I got to do better. That's a heart that loves the Most High. Say, I will change. I will do better. You speak these things into existence. You believe it in your mind. You believe it in your heart. Because remember, I told you Christ said that he searches what? The reins and the hearts. He searches your kidneys and your hearts. The interpretation that he searches your emotions and your heart. He knows your heart. Okay? Am I going to be mad about it? I'm going to get all emotional and be mad about it. I ain't sure. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and say I'm a preacher. No, that's not how it works. You have to change. You have to say, you know what? I'm going to be delivered from something. I believe it's going to happen. I believe it every day. I'm going to get better, right? Because remember, he says in verse 19, I know thy works. You can't escape. Okay? So let's move forward. Plenty of scriptures, okay, but we're going to move on. Verse 24 says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. See, because you're choosing to do right. That divide, those that do believe in Thyatira, you're choosing to do right. No other burden. Continue to do what you're doing, right? Verse 25 says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. In other words, continue to do what you're doing. You're doing good. You're doing all right. I don't have a problem with you. It's this divide over the wolves that pretend to be sheep I got a problem with. They acting like they part of the church, but they're not. They cutting up, doing all these things they shouldn't be doing, right? And so let's deal with just a little bit. We're going to touch on, we talked about the Catholic Church, the Catholicism Church, because they fall into this category of the church. It says the depths of Satan. Okay, and I'm just going to deal with just a few practices. That's not even biblical. The celibacy upon the priests or the so-called ministers of the Catholic Church. I've never heard of such thing. I was shocked, actually, to find it out years ago. I didn't even know this, because I don't pay a lot of these other religions any attention. But when I found out that they don't marry, I'm like, that's not even scripture. What man doesn't marry? Well, at some point, even Paul said, unless you could be like me. Paul was a natural eunuch, okay? He was a natural eunuch, which means that there are some men who do choose not to have sex. There are some virgins that have been virgins all their life. There are some women who choose not to have sex, okay? I applaud them, okay? But Paul said himself, he said, hey, it's better to marry than to burn. And he ain't talking about burning a lake of fire. He said he means burn with desire. So in other words, if you got a habit, go and get married. That's the best thing to do. Paul said, I'd rather if you can't be like me, go ahead and get married. You need to go ahead and do what you got to do. But these priests are practicing celibacy, and we know what they're doing to children. So here's the thing. We know that that's not scripture for any man not to be married or not to desire to be married. But it is scripture in the sense if you can what? Contain yourself. Meaning that, hey, if he can go his whole life and not desire it, man, more power to him. You know, that's a blessed gift to have, I think, you know, if you can do it. But, you know, as for me, I'd rather be married, okay? You know, say what you want to. You know, some of us, you know. So anyway, the celibacy of the priest. This is not even a practice. That's not even biblical, okay? The Bible talks about the union between a man and a woman all since the beginning. A union between a man and a woman. You can't change that. You can't make that into something else. People want to twist the scripture and say, oh, at this new day and time. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And his word is so powerful that he could say it billions of years ago. He could have said it way back in eternity. It's going to last for all eternity. It never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. That's why he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I never change. Here's how intelligent he is. He could say something that was way back in the beginning eternity was going to go forth for all eternity. That's how intelligent he is. It's not going to change. Just because people say, well, he's doing a new thing. No, he's not. You're doing a new thing. He ain't doing a new thing. People make up all kinds of stuff. It's funny how I go to church. People got all these little cute sayings. That's not even scripture. And folks just fall into it again, the Jezebel spirit. People just fall after any doctrine and anything. They just follow anything. Oh, it's just a cute say. Oh, let me get started saying, that's not even scripture. Why are you reciting some stuff you didn't hear at church or you saw on TV? That's not even scripture. Stop following people and follow the word. Follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the Most High. Okay? So we know that these things are not even scripture. So another thing I want to deal with was the Immaculate Conception of Mary. I know that this is big in the Catholic Church, how they praise Mary. You ain't supposed to be praising Mary. Christ didn't even pray. He honored his mother in the sense that he had respect for her, but he didn't praise his mother. He was the Messiah. He said, well, what have I to do with me? He said, my hour had not come yet. So a lot of times people are just out here just doing it, just following stuff that's not even scripture. And when I heard that, I'm like, worshiping Mary, that's not even nowhere in the Bible. I've never read that. But you got people who do it. Hey, people don't care. This is, again, Christ said, I know thy works. People just out here just doing it, just following any doctrine. Okay? These are doctrines that have depths in Satanism and Lucifer, and you got to call it what it is. That's devilish. Okay, here's the thing. It makes me wonder, and then I found out that the Pope and the priests, when they go all locked up for 30, well, first of all, you ain't going to lock me up with no man for no certain amount of time. The devil is a lie. We ain't going to be locked. Why are we locked up together? Especially not for no 30 days. And then I ain't with no woman. The devil. Come on. See, these folks are playing games with y'all. And these folks are follow these people and what he says. The devil. You know, that stuff is not even biblical. Why would you not have a wife? Then you're going to be locked up. Now, if you can be locked up with your wife for 30 days, we can do that. You go your way, I go my way. I'm be locked up with my wife, but I'm not going to be locked up with no men. And I ain't mad. I ain't got no wife. Wait a minute, celibacy? No. So a lot of these things are just made up. And again, the depths of Satan, these doctrines are so steep in evil doctrines, okay? And then you can see here in Revelation and dealing with in every aspect of these churches. Now, remember, I told you the churches are the ones who set up like the church, like the true real church. See, there's a real true church, and then these false religions out here that set up like the real church. And they usually, and they're so funny, they have the nerve to preach out of the Bible. They don't preach the Bible. They don't preach the Bible. They make it their own doctrines. How do you do that? How do you have the book in front of you and not follow the book? It's kind of like the school. It's kind of like instructions on anything. How are you going to just make up your own instructions when the instructions tell you that you should get married? Okay, if you can't, then you're fine. If you can go without it, that's good. But if not, go ahead and get married, get your wife, have your family. But you're going to just all of a sudden just somehow you're going to make up something and say, no, I don't want to get married. I'm going to be we don't get married here. But we're going to go and hang around a bunch of men. That's highly suspect. And not only is it highly suspect, what do you think is going to happen? What's going to come out of that? At some point, there's got to be a desire because as you can hear some of the stories in Catholicism that they do, then that's not doctrine. That's not of the Most High. But yet people are still following this demon doctrine, this demonic doctrine. Okay? So, again, moving along with the word, we have to do what? As we are instructed to do, okay? The instructions that are being taught by Yahweh, Christ, our Lord, our Savior, okay? But he tells the church of Thyatira, I will put upon you none of the other burdens. You're doing what you're supposed to, okay? He said, hold fast what you have until I come, okay? This is a good thing for those who are practicing as they should in the church. Now, we're talking about the church of Thyatira at that time. We're not talking about these churches that are steeped in Satanism now and Luciferian now. We're not talking about them because there are people who have gotten delivered from these doctrines who have actually read the Bible, and that's a good thing because some people will read these doctrines and say, wait a minute, something's not right, okay? And I'll tell you, even though I was raised in the church, a lot of times you search when you're young. And you say, man, I'm searching to see, is this the real religion? Is this the right way to go? And I remember when I was a lot of people thought I became part of this religion and I didn't. I was just simply reading one of the books just to see what it was about. And people say, oh, you, and look, That's not what I am. I'm just reading the book to find out what's real, what's going on. I have to read some of the things in their book. It wasn't the Bible, it was their book. I'm like, this is some mess. I'm not being a part of this. And so it doesn't take rocket science for you to see the truth and know the truth. And if you get up under the correct teaching, you can see which doctrines are of the devil and which doctrines are of the Most High God. Okay? Verse 26, let's move right along. We're moving right along. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. This is a prophetic scripture in which Christ is talking about once he returns back to the earth. When he raises those from the dead that have kept his doctrine, meaning if you keep his doctrine, whether you pass away into this world, you have kept his doctrine, you're a believer. So when you die as a believer, he's going to remember you. Okay? Or if you happen to be alive at the time that he comes, you happen to make it through the Great Tribulation, which is going to be a tough time, he's going to reward you. Okay? And this is what he's talking about in this verse 26. This is a prophetic scripture here. It says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end. This is the end of not the end of time, but the end, nearing the end, the last 1,000-year reign. Okay? It says, to him I will give power over the nations. And I told you all that when Christ returned, we're going to come back, and I have to read these scriptures. Let's go over real quick because I'm in verse 26. Let's go to Revelation, the 16th chapter, verse 14. I'm going to give you these scriptures. I tell you a lot of times I have so many scriptures I don't get to use, but it's okay. One day I may need to come back and give them to you or refer back to them. So remember, when Christ returned, the second coming of Christ, this is when he actually comes back to the earth and he defeats the army, the world nation, these governments and their armies, all their missiles and technology. They think they're so bad with their technology, but wait till when Christ comes back, he's going to destroy them. This is Revelation, the 16th chapter, verse 14, says, for they are the spirits of devils. This is these governments around the world. It says, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them together, to gather them to the battle of the great day of Yahweh, God Almighty. Okay? So these people are going to come against the Most High if they think they are. They're going to all these armies of the world. They all in cahoots together anyway. They all serve Lucifer. They all serve the Satan, the devil. And they all in together. They act like they're together, but they are. They're all brothers. They're all brothers is what they are. They're all together. Okay? And they all come together. They're going to all agree and say, you know what? We're going to come together. But watch this. In verse 15, it says, behold, I come as a thief. This is Christ now coming back. Remember the church, we're going to be with him. We're going to come back with him, right? Because 7 years prior to that, he called the church together in the great gathering together. Now, some people call it the rapture. I just don't use the rapture because it's not in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with it because the rapture is the Latin word for caught up together. So if you want to use it, that's fine. I just don't. I rather just say the gathering together. Nothing wrong with it, okay? But understand, 7 years prior, he came and got the church. He raised the dead in Christ, the church, since the day of Pentecost, right? Now, he's coming back to the earth with the church, okay? It says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. At least he walk naked, and they see his shame. What that scripture is referring to, the unbelievers, they're naked. They won't have a garment. When it's all said and done, you won't need no clothes. See, in the beginning, Adam and Eve didn't have any clothes. They were naked because they didn't need it, okay? But because they sinned, to them it seemed as a shameful thing when it really wasn't. But it was a shameful thing. And so in the end, it's going to be the same way, okay? But because they have sin, then it's going to be a shameful thing to be naked. Verse 16 says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Okay? So then, at that time, let's read a little bit more. I'm going to go over to Revelation, the 19th chapter, verses 11 to 13. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 13. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The same thing as I just read. Christ is going to come back. Heaven's going to open up again, just like it did 7 years prior when he came and resurrected the church. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he do judge and make war. This is Christ. Now he's coming back. See, when he came that first time, when he was born, the Hebrews thought he was coming back to rule, but he wasn't. He was just coming back to redeem man back to the Most High. Now he's coming back to rule. It says now he's going to make war. His eyes was as a flame of fire, which you already know what that means. I already told you. He see everything now. He see who's real, who's not. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. This is Christ. This is our Messiah, man. This is our Lord, man. He's going to come back and make it happen. Boy. It says in verse 30, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Yeshua. Right? He is the Word of God. This is what we read every day, the Word. We put the Word in us. He is in us, the Spirit. He is in us. And verse 14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean. Man, we're going to be with him. That's going to be a day. Man, get your tickets. Stay free. Come to this side. This is where you want to be. And this is other stuff they got y'all into. And then where you want to be. It says, and out of his mouth go a sharp sword, and that which it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule. Now he's gonna destroy them. Them armies, he's gonna wipe them out. All his weapons, these military, these guns, they think they bad. Oh, he's gonna show them what, like you said back there, he's gonna show them what time it is. He's gonna come back, he's gonna defeat them. We ain't gonna even have to do it. All the armies gonna be with him, but we ain't gonna have to fight. Christ said, I'm gonna take care of him by myself. That's how bad he is. He's gonna do it by himself. And then once he wipes them out, he said, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. For that 1,000 years, we're going to rule with him. And he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God, which is Yahweh of heaven. Okay. I'll let you read the rest. I was supposed to be reading verse 16. I'll let you read verse 16. I got a little time. It says, and he had on his vesture and on his name, on his thigh, name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our Messiah. He died for our sins. Verse 20. So back over to Revelation, the second chapter, verse 26-27. This is what this is talking about, those two verses, was what I just read over in Revelation 16 and Revelation 19. But verse 27 of second Revelation says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. So what that's talking about is that battle of Armageddon. That's how powerful he is. It's in comparison to a thick rod of iron. If you read the interpretation, it's a thick iron rod. And the power of his might is comparing that power to a little pottery clay. And he's just going to break it. Just imagine hitting not with an aluminum base, but an iron rod, and you just hit it with a. That's how his power is compared to the armies of this world. All the armies of this world, he's going to just destroy them. He's going to smite them. He's just going to break them up. He's going to destroy them just like that. And then it says, even as I received of my Father, the power that comes from his Heavenly Father. That's how bad our Christ is. Man, get your tickets. Stay free. Come on to this side and stop playing. Verse 28, we're going to get ready to shut down. And I will give him the morning star, which is referring to what he was passed down from David, because David was the last king of Israel that did right in the sight of the Heavenly Father. You remember that he was the man after Yahweh's own heart. He did something. He wasn't perfect, but he believed him. He followed him. And, you know, after David, it wasn't too many that did it right because, you know, Solomon, his son, did wrong all the days of his life until he got old and he came back. But then he passed on the scepter to who? Christ. Christ was the last one to do righteous, and he redeemed man. And now he's coming back to rule. We're going to be with him 1,000 years. And verse 29 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. If you desire to hear this word, you're coming back week after week. You want to know what the word says. You have a desire. It says, he that hath an ear, Christ is talking to you through the church, through me, through the Holy Spirit, to give you this word. It says, let him hear what saith the Spirit unto the churches. You are the church, and you're hearing this word. You're being blessed. Again, we open up salvation to you. It's free. It's free. You don't have to do anything for it, but just simply accept and say, Lord, right now, no matter where you are, your car, your restroom, your shower, I don't know, your bedroom, whatever, your office, your car, drive, just accept him right now. He'll receive you. You have eternal life all eternity, and he's going to come back and get you. If you die today, tomorrow, next year, 50 years from now, he still ain't come back. It don't matter if it take 1,000 years for him to come back. I believe him, and I know he's going to come back and return to get me. Family, I love you. We're going to continue in the Church of Sardis next week, Revelation 3rd chapter. Then we got two more churches out there. We got three total. We're almost done with the seven churches. But I want you to know what Christ is saying to the churches. Then we're going to get into Revelation, the future. Hey, this is the past and the present churches we're dealing with. Then we'll get into the future. But we love each and every one of you all, family. Again, hopefully something was said to bless you. Remember, thank you, family, for listening. And remember, you are blessed by the best, the Most High, Yahweh and His Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Remember, you are royalty, I am royalty, and family, until next time, stay blessed and bless the kingdom, family. I love each and every one of you. You all have a good night. Be blessed. Amen.